Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This special Friday edition is all about Demigod, a new series coming out from Ominous Press and IDW. The writer is Ron Mars, and the art is going to be handled by Andy Smith. And I was lucky enough to have Ron Mars come on the show and talk about the series and also the deluxe edition of the first issue, which is available on Kickstarter. So you can find details in the show notes. Let me go ahead and play the interview for you. And once again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. All right, everybody. I have a special treat for you. I have comic writer Ron Mars joining me today. For those not familiar with Ron Mars, in my mind, he's a legendary comic writer. He's worked on some of the most iconic characters in the business. So if any of our listeners, Ron, are new to comics and maybe they haven't heard the name, why don't you give us a quick rundown where they may have seen your work before? What are you most well known for?
I started on Silver Surfer. That was my first gig in the industry overall. And I've done, for Marvel, I did Thor. For DC, I did Green Lantern for about 7 years. Superboy, I did the Marvel versus DC crossover. Witchblade for Top Cow, Star Wars for Dark Horse, and a bunch of other stuff in between. I've been doing it for more than 25 years, so I've kind of danced with all the girls at the party.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, your runs on Silver Surfer with Ron Lim, absolutely incredible. And then, you know, you introduced Kyle Rayner, who for a lot of people younger than myself, that is their Green Lantern. So, I mean, he was the Green Lantern for a long time. So definitely some iconic characters you've worked on.
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough to get into the industry at a time when it was kind of a boom on, and literally my first job in comics was writing Silver Surfer. So, I got to start in the major leagues. I didn't have to work my way up through the minors, which is very much how things work now. And I was also fortunate enough for the DC sort of handed me the reins on Green Lantern and asked me to come up with a new Green Lantern. So I got kind of the best of both worlds there. I got to make up my own character and kind of start with a fresh slate, but also have all of the trappings and history of Green Lantern at my disposal to, to kind of support the new guy that we handed the ring to in Kyle.
Yeah, it was incredible. And speaking of new characters, that's what we're here today to talk about. Your new series coming out from IDW also has a Kickstarter involved. So why don't you tell me about Demigod? What's it all about?
Wow, that was a very subtle transition. That was that was pretty good.
I've been doing this for a little while myself. So.
So Demigod is the second series from Ominous Press, which is the revivified publishing line that Bart Sears, who is obviously an amazing artist and creator and one of my best friends. Bart started Ominous Press in the 90s, and then when the industry tanked in the 90s, mid-90s or so, it took a lot of the small publishers with it, and Ominous Press was one of them. But now Ominous is back. I'm the editor-in-chief. Bart's the creative director. Andy Smith is the art director. And we're publishing books both through IDW as well as doing our own imprint as well. So the first series we did through IDW is Dread Gods, which is by me and Tom Ranney, who has drawn X-Men and Teen Titans and Stormwatch and a whole host of things. Actually, drew one of my first Silver Surfer issues too. So Dread Gods has three issues on the stand, and the fourth one's being finished up right now by Tom. And then Demigod will be the next Ominous miniseries that will be on stands, I believe, the last week of this month, the last week of March. The book's already been shipped off to press, and I assume at this point is on a slow boat from Korea over here after being printed overseas. So Demigod is written by me, drawn by Andy Smith, colored by Michael Atiyah, who is a terrific colorist and, you know, a guy I've known for 20 years, works for DC and Dark Horse and a bunch of other places. Steve Dutro is doing the lettering, and the whole concept was created by Bart Sears. So in a nutshell, we've been describing Demigod as kind of what happens if you mashed up Deadpool and the Mighty Thor. So it's the story of a slacker in his late teens, early 20s, who eventually, through machinations in the first issue, inherits the power of the legendary Hercules and ends up becoming something of a superhero, but is kind of too self-obsessed and selfish to really be a great superhero. So he's more of a celebrity who does the right thing because it looks good on camera. like I said, the first issue's done, second issue's being finished up, and we'll have a 4-issue mini out over the next 4 months. And it's a little different than anything I've ever written. It's got obviously a sense of humor to it, but there's also an undercurrent of, you know, if you get this sort of power, is it like winning the lottery, or does great responsibility come with great power? So it's a superhero / science fiction story, but it does kind of turn some of those tropes on its ear.
Yeah, that's an interesting question to think about, especially as a longtime comic reader.
Well, certainly, you know, there's a superhero aspect to it because it's a, you know, guy with big muscles and in a cool costume. But to a certain extent, the world doesn't need more superhero comics. The world's got, you know, Marvel and DC superhero comics that everyone knows and loves and grows up with. So we're doing something that's a little different that kind of turns all of that on its head a bit. And then maybe in some ways is kind of a truer reflection of what might actually happen if somebody did get superpowers, because I don't know, most people aren't very selfless and kind of would go off and do what they wanted for themselves, which is certainly what happens initially in the story. And then, you know, part of the character growth and the development of Jason / Hercules, who's the main character, is that learning process and the question of whether he eventually grows up or just decides, well, I have the power of Hercules. I don't have to grow up. I can do whatever I want.
Now, do you find as a smaller publisher that it's, when it comes to recruiting talent, is it a little easier? I mean, you guys can kind of like pick and choose, right? Like, you know, with you and Andy and Bart, you know, being kind of the big guns at the publisher, and then you can kind of go and recruit. I mean, you guys have enough cred, right? Has that been an interesting process?
Well, yeah, I mean, a big part of it is that we've been in the industry for 2 decades plus, all of us, and have a relationship with people. You know, comics is ultimately a fairly small industry compared to, you know, any other industry you might name. So eventually everybody does kind of know everybody. And you tend to work with people that you click with creatively. So so this series seemed like it was a really good fit for what Andy does. When we were creatively casting Dread Gods, Tom Rainey was the first name that came up because the story, the design, the setting, it really screamed out for what Tom does. So one of the nice things about comics is that you can work with your friends. You can work with people that you've worked with previously. And being, you know, having our own publishing imprint means that we can make those choices. We, and I guess principally me, because I do a lot of the hiring, I've tried to make sure that when we do, you know, when we're casting for a series or doing covers, that I reach out to people that I think are obviously the proper fit for the project, but also people that that, you know, whose work needs more exposure or maybe who hasn't been seen in a while. There's actually a great deal of responsibility in terms of who you're going to hire to do a gig. Cause you don't want it to just simply recycle, people that have been in the industry for 20 years, because then the industry doesn't grow and evolve. So you try to balance, working with people, you know, working with, known quantities, and also reaching out to new talent who might have something to bring to the table that other people don't. So, one of the aspects of the gig that I really enjoy is, all right, let's sit down and try to figure out who the best person for this job is and who else we can bring into the mix to kind of create a balanced assembly of talent.
Right. And there's got to be a level of responsibility to the, in service of the story itself, right? Like you talked about Tom Rainey being such a perfect fit for Demigods and Dread Gods rather. And, you know, Andy Smith being more fit for Demigods. So there's always that balance,
oh, sure.
Right?
I mean, like
working with your friends and making sure you're getting somebody that's going to bring the best of the story to the surface.
Yeah, that's a huge part of, that's a huge part of what makes any comic work is assembling the right talent and then letting them do their jobs. That was a lesson I learned, you know, more than 20 years ago from Archie Goodwin, who I think is probably the greatest comic editor to ever walk the face of the earth. Archie told me one day when I was sitting in his office at DC that, that 90% of his job was hiring the right people to do the job. And that if he had done that, he really didn't have to do a whole lot beyond that. And if right. he hadn't done that, there was really no amount of Band-Aid that could be put on the project to fix it. If you hire the wrong people, nobody ends up happy at the end of the day. If you hire the right people, everybody ends up happy at the end of the day. So it's a hugely crucial part of the process. And I think it's a very much behind the scenes sort of aspect of comics, that I think readers are, you know, probably not really aware of. But not just getting the people who are going to turn in the job on time and do what they're supposed to, but also just the right fit. I mean, you look at the brilliant high water marks of comics, you know, Watchmen would be a very different comic if Dave Gibbons had not drawn it. If you were right. working from the same Alan Moore scripts and you got Bill Sienkiewicz to draw Watchmen, it would be a very different project. You know, probably still awesome, almost certainly still awesome, but it would be a very different thing than what we have now, which is one of the all-time greats because it was Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons together. To me, comics are like playing basketball or like playing jazz, in that everybody on the creative team has a different role. They bring a different skill to the project, but everybody has to be working in concert together. So it's like playing jazz, in that every musician on the stage is doing a different thing, but it all has to come together somehow. Basketball is the same thing. It's five people all doing different jobs on the court, but they all have to function as one unit, despite the fact that they all bring different skills to it. Comics is no different. Comics is the same kind of thing, where your assembling the creative team is probably the most important aspect of anything that goes on. And even if the letterer isn't the right person, if you can produce an otherwise completely professional, terrific comic, if the lettering sucks, the level of the presentation is brought down completely. I tell that to people all the time when, you know, I'm at a convention or a signing or something like that, and people bring up the projects that they're working on. They want me to look at it, and almost all the time, the lettering sucks. And it just makes everything look amateur because they've tried to do the lettering themselves to save $10 a page or 15 bucks a page. So even something as you know, sort of in the scale of things, not viewed as importantly as the writing or the art, but something like the lettering, if that's not right, the whole thing falls apart. One of the real boons of doing Ominous is that, I and Bart and Andy and our publisher, Sean Husbar, can do that creative casting. And, you know, I'm not saying we get it right all the time, but it's a lot more satisfying to be on that end of the project and getting the people in place that you think are going to work the best rather than just being part of an assembly line like you are sometimes on other projects.
Right, right. Let's talk a little bit about the structure of Demigod. You said it was going to be a miniseries?
It's a 4-issue miniseries. That's how we're doing all of the Ominous stuff initially. We'll probably do some one-shots and do some other formats later on. But Dread Gods is a 4-issue mini, and Demigod will be a 4-issue mini.
Now, when you're structuring the series for Ominous, do they take place in the same universe? Do you have long-term plans for the universe? Or are they all kind of in different corners or completely separate?
They all take place in the same universe. There's kind of a backstory that unifies all the stories eventually, but takes place in the same universe, but it's different planets and different time frames in that universe. So everything really works kind of completely independently. So if somebody has not read Dread Gods, for instance, and they want to pick up Demigod, it's a completely fresh start. It's a completely ground floor read. You're not going to need to have read one to understand the other. But there will be little hints here and there of things that sort of tie the series together, that tie the different concepts together. And as we go forward and tell more stories, some of those things will become more apparent. But for now, we're just telling the best story we can tell with these individual franchises. And eventually, some of that overall framework will become more apparent, but we don't want the audience to feel penalized if you're not reading everything. We want the audience to feel completely included no matter what they're reading.
Right, and now you mentioned the main character from Demigod, and that question of, is he doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, or because it looks good on TV, what's the thing? Do you have, I know oftentimes writers like to leave it kind of open, let the story grow organically. But do you have an ending in mind for the story? Not that I want you to give it away at all, but do you have an ending in mind for kind of the end of his journey? Do you kind of see where he ends up, or you have it completely wide open?
It's more of an open-ended story right now. We know where some of the stuff connects up with other concepts and other aspects of the series. But for now, we're going to concentrate on telling self-contained episodes as we do, more miniseries as we go. I feel like a lot of times readers feel like they're being held hostage to the overall universe storyline or to crossovers that seem to, hit every other book in the publishing line. We didn't want to make the readership feel like they were being held hostage. So eventually there's an end where a lot of the stuff comes together, but that's a ways down the road, and we don't want anybody to feel like they have to worry about all that stuff. There's a much broader universe that we have and a larger overall story that we'll eventually be telling. But for now, just show up and enjoy the 20-minute ride you get out of the comic. That's really what our goal here is to get the issue in your hands, to have you plug into the characters and be invested in what happens to them, and then come back a month later to find out what the next chapter is.
Cool. That sounds fair. You've also decided to do a Kickstarter for Demigod, right? Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, the Kickstarter is up right now, and we'll be up for, I think we end in 6 days. So, the Demigod first issue will come out through IDW. It'll hit stands, like I said, last week of March. The Kickstarter is for sort of the deluxe edition of Demigod. It's going to contain the first two issues of regular comics material that we've done. It'll contain an exclusive 12-page story. It will contain a sketchbook gallery. It will contain a self-help advice column written in Demigod's voice. So we're doing this sort of oversized hardcover edition of the book as the Kickstarter exclusive. There's material in the Kickstarter that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else. And it's kind of a lavish hardcover package. So this is really for the for people who really want to invest in what we're doing with the series and get all of the all of the extras. The Kickstarter has cover by Andy Smith, a variant cover dust jacket by Bart Sears, a variant cover dust jacket by Andy, and a variant cover dust jacket by Ian Churchill, who's a terrific artist who's worked for Marvel and DC and Image and everybody else in between. So, and then there are original art rewards for some of the other covers, some pages, sketches by Andy Smith. There's also an art book by Andy Smith that goes along as a companion piece to the Demigod Kickstarter. That's called Black Book, The Art of Andy Smith, which is the next in our series of Black Book art books. The first one was by Bart Sears, which came out with the re-release of his drawing lessons that we produced in hardcover. So we've got an ongoing series of art books that I don't think we've announced who the other ones are, but we've got like another four or five of them lined up already. So you'll be seeing them on Kickstarter throughout the year. So, obviously Ominous is created by an artist. I like to think of myself as a fairly artist friendly writer. So we want to put a lot of the focus back on the artists in terms of what comics do. So this package and the art book that goes along with it are very much an effort to do that. I've always believed that you get asked what's the most important part of a comic, the story or the art. Well, obviously you have to have both. It's words and pictures working together, but the honest to God answer is the art is more important, because without the art, you don't have a comic. You can do a comic without words, but without art, you don't have a comic. So I'm very much a proponent of artists getting more credit than they currently do, and really making sure that this is a marriage of words and pictures, and that the pictures have a huge aspect of what makes the book successful. So everything that Ominous does will have a real visual aspect to it, because that's why we read comics. If you weren't interested in the artwork, you'd go read a novel or read a play or a screenplay. But comics are unique and specific because of the artwork.
Yeah, and it sounds like really that ability to showcase the art is really why you want to do these deluxe hardcovers on Kickstarter, right? Just to give even more of the spotlight onto the art itself.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to put out the best artistic packages as we can. Our previous Kickstarter that I did with the artist Matthew Dow Smith, from a concept by the sculptor Paul Harding, is called Beast of the Black Hand. We're doing that in an oversized sort of French album hardcover, again, because we wanted to show off the art as lavishly as possible. And that format, that size book, is not
is not hugely comic book store friendly, because comic book stores are set up to have comics in racks. A lot of them have, the nuts and bolts of it is they have fixtures in the store that are set up for comic book size projects. So we'll certainly do those things as well. But for the real, for the collectors, for the people that really want that lavish hardcover art experience, we're doing these books through Kickstarter, and so far the response has been really good.
Yeah, and for you listeners that are interested, I'll have the link in the show notes to the Kickstarter. As Ron said, there are 6 days left. It's almost halfway there, so kind of need to kick it in high gear. So I encourage you to go out there and pledge right away. Pick your tier, pick your reward, what you want, and do it sooner than later.
Yeah, we've got 6 days left. I think we're just a little further than halfway, so the push is on.
Yep, definitely. So I want to thank you for joining me, for taking the time today, Ron. Hopefully our listeners will go and pick up Demigod, whether the Kickstarter or when it hits racks. Be sure and let your comic retailer know that you're interested so they can have a copy on hand for you. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know, Ron?
If somebody could come shovel my driveway, because we're getting about 2 feet of snow, that would be awesome. But that seems like a little too much to ask.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, again, I'd like to thank you for joining me. Listeners, don't forget, if you want to listen to previous episodes of the podcast, you can go to thecomicsourceblog.com for all previous episodes. Starting this coming Monday, March 5th, all the new content will be released on lrmonline.com, migrating everything over there for more access to exclusives and exposure and all that kind of good stuff. So don't forget, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram. Keep up to date when new episodes are released and all our convention coverage. So thanks again to Ron for joining me. Personally, I can't wait to read Demigod, so I hope you listeners get out there and support the book. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.